We go to Europe now, where a wave of anti-tourism protests is spreading across some of the continent's most popular holiday destinations. The focal point for much of this has been Spain, which had a record 75.6 million tourists last year. Many Spaniards are growing frustrated by armies of tourists taking over town centres, disrupting the lives of locals and putting a strain on resources, housing and jobs. Demonstrations have also taken place this year in the Italian cities of Venice, Rome and Milan, as well as Dubrovnik in Croatia. But the World Tourism Organisation's defending the sector, calling on authorities to work to manage growth more sustainably. Marty Cuso is a member of the Neighbourhood Assembly for Sustainable Tourism in Barcelona. Marty, welcome to 9 to Noon.
Thank you. Hello.
That sounds to me like a lot of tourists in one year. Tell me about the protests, how they've begun and how big they've got, particularly in Barcelona.
It's been for a long time since they started, actually. The model of the city we have now, based mostly on tourist industry, it started with the Summer Olympics in 1992, actually, in our city. The administration, they built a city model in co-working with the tourist industry to make a city based economically in tourism. Okay, tourism was growing a lot during the 90s and also the first 10 years of the 21st century, and now it's still increasing a lot. And it generates a lot of pressure for the lives of the neighbors and the citizens living in. And that's the reason why the protests are also increasing in the city.
I know. It was the 1992 Olympic Games that was a turning point. And indeed, the amount of tourism has been ramping up since then. What of the protests, however? There's been half a dozen, I think, organized by the association this year. And are you getting quite big turnouts to those?
Yeah, we are claiming for the tourism, the growth. I mean, we don't think we have to grow sustainably anymore. We think our city has reached a limit, has surpassed actually the limit. We are a small city surrounded by mountains. It cannot grow anymore. We have 1.5 residents, but we receive 30 million, almost 30 million tourists a year. This is not sustainable in terms of quantity. And that we are pointing, our protests. For example, we protested against housing effects on housing because of the industry, especially Airbnb and hotels. Also, we protested against cruise ships because they are polluting our air and making lots of problems of public space overwhelming, overcrowding. And other things. The effects are a lot in many terms.
We know this also from Italy. I know in Venice it's incredibly sensitive. Yeah. I think there's 55,000 permanent residents, and I have no idea how many million people go there. Again, there's an issue with the cruise ships and the impact on a very delicate. We know the delicacy of the city and its geography and its. Age is precisely what attracts people there, but the same pressures there and also I think again in Rome. I mean, a city like Venice is almost the tourism epicentre, and I suppose, does it get to a point where, frustrating as it is for locals, that's its reality, you know? It's probably almost its entire economy. I mean, can you comment? I think Venice is possibly the most chronic example. Rome probably not far behind. Mm. Has it got beyond being recoverable?
We think so. We think so. But we have to recombat all the city model. We cannot speak about making growth sustainable. But we have to speak about recombating the city model from itself. I mean, we have to start thinking about degrowing. I mean, the administration has to control tourism. The public administration has to control tourism. But we have to think about reducing the weight of tourism in the local economy of the city by promoting other economies. We don't think it can be or it should be done fast. It's a long process, because if not, it could be a crash. Because the industry, of course, it's well based in the city. But we think it's the way, it's the only way to gain sustainability in the city in terms of tourism. And yeah, it's so hard to imagine this process now because no one has speak about that until now, probably. Until now, we put the topic over the table. But we think that is the only way, reducing the local weight of tourism and promoting other economies more sustainable, because tourism generates jobs, but they are precarious, temporary, and of course, it's not sustainable for the people living in the city and for their rights.
Another development, and I know it's interesting and it can move, the focus of European tourism and where people go in Europe can move often, I mean, dreadfully to say it, depending on conflict. You know, you go through years of terrible conflict and the tourists won't be anywhere near it. And then after a certain period, it becomes the next tourism wave, or indeed it becomes concentrated because places where people might go are undergoing some conflict or fears of terrorism, and so the sort of the global market all ends up focusing somewhere else. And is that part of what's happened, particularly for Spain of late, do you think?
Yeah, that's probably true. Some tourists that were supposed to go to Northern Africa, for example, they because of the situations in those countries, go to Barcelona. But the main problem is that our administration trusted in a model that put tourism on the first step in our economy. And that's the reason why we are in the situation right now, because of our politicians decided to make Barcelona a touristic city. It was not. We are not against tourism. We are against the unsustainable weight it has been given to tourism in our city.
I know another, as I was going to say, another really new and major issue is the advent of Airbnb, which that company claims is all about relieving pressure in some ways, right? Because it can sort of spread people out to where there might be vacant homes for a time, someone's away, can take some of the pressure off the accommodation market. However, in reality, what's happening in Spain and some of these other areas is it a much more professionalised operation rather than individuals saying, I'm away for the summer, use my house. And is it impacting on the availability of accommodation for residents?
Exactly. That's what Airbnb says, is that people using Airbnb platform is people that need a little bit more income for money for spend the summer outside, something like that. But we studied the situation in Barcelona, and most of the people that announce flats on Airbnb, they are professional companies that buy flats and put them on Airbnb because they can earn 3 or 4 times more than using it in the residential market. That's the reason, because Airbnb is a speculation basis.
What is happening? Are you seeing some initiatives, for example, on that front? Are there? I know there's some cities that are requiring any Airbnb providers to register with the city council or whatever. Yeah. And on that basis, and also I think there are, I mean, literally around some of the most famous monuments or sites, there's now agencies beginning to monitor numbers, and are some actively trying to limit numbers? If so, are any of these measures helping?
Do you mean by making entrance payment, something like that?
Or just limiting the number of people who can go through in a day or a week? I mean, I don't know if that's possible.
Yeah, but we're saying limiting the number is not to make an entrance fee. I mean, to pay an entrance is not the way. So to making private the monuments is not the way of reducing tourism. We think we have to degrow in all the levels. I mean, stop growing the airport, stop growing the shipboard, stop doing promotion of the city with public money. Thinking that another city model is possible without this amount of tourism, because it was, and it is not now because. The industry of tourism has lots of benefits that they don't share with the citizenship. They earn lots of money that only go to a few hands, into a few hands. But mostly they were also in the government. So it's kind of mafia's structure. Okay.
Right. Okay. You part of what you're saying here is that some of these countries and/or cities or regions need to try and develop other industries. But again, it feels like in some cases it's just it almost feels too late, doesn't it? And practically, do you see the will and the kinds of effort underway that's going to help ease the pressure?
That's probably too late, and it's so late to do it fast, and that's why we say it's going to be a long process, but we have to start now, because now we cannot speak anymore about growing, because we cannot grow anymore. It's not sustainable. We have to speak about degrowing and doing it at the pace we can without crashing the city. But that's possible, and that's our politicians should know that. But they are not as brave as they told during the electoral campaign to do that. But that's why we are pressing up on them to do that, to start thinking about the growth and slowly replacing tourism for other economies decided by the citizens.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Marty Kuso is a member of the Neighbourhood Assembly for Sustainable Tourism in Barcelona. There are other organisations as well. Some are more radical in their approaches, and even some vandalism associated with some of the protests that have been happening there. In parts of Europe, we were speaking specifically in this instance to some of the frustrations of people in Spain.